Welcome.
Thank you. Sure, wonderful to be with the saints this morning. And we're trying an experiment here. Of course, we record the teachings on our conference call line, and we're also doing it on Facebook Live. So hopefully some of you are getting this in color as well, huh? All right. Good. Well, I'm going to talk about a subject that we all can relate to. And this subject is life. What are you getting out of life? That's a big question, isn't it? What are you getting out of life? How is life treating you? Are you happy with where you're at now? Are you satisfied with your life? You know, a lot of questions could be asked in light of living life to the fullest. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, living a full life. Living a full life. And living a full life is getting the most out of what's available in life. Who's the author of life? God Almighty. God Almighty is the author of life. And He knows how to live life. Now, I know you'll go out there and you'll hear all kinds of quotes and people saying what life is for them. So I thought I would share a few of these little quotes with you about life. Life is like a can of sardines. They are all looking for the key to get out of life. If at first you don't succeed, then skydiving is definitely not for you. Think about that. And in the book of life, the answers are not in the back. Actually, the book of life, God's word, the answer is all through there, isn't it? And that's what we're going to look at, God's word for us. And it's God who loved us and desired for us to be in His family. You know, God wants to live life too. How do you think He wants to live His life? Well, it's reflected in His desires. In His desires. So, God's desire we have in the screen here, 1 Timothy 2:4, who will all have all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is God's desire. He wants everybody to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, it's one thing to get born again, saved, get into the family, but what does that mean? Who are you as a member of the family, a child of God? Well, that's where the knowledge of the truth comes in, right? There's so many Christians out there that are just living way below par. Their life is so minimal that there's so much more, and it comes with a wonderful knowledge of God's word. So this is what God wants. All men saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And then in verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself, verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ paid the price for all mankind. Nobody gets to miss a relationship with God. Nobody. Every single person has the opportunity to have access to God Almighty. He paid the price. God so loved, that verse John 3:16, God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. That's God living life to the fullest. And the more children He has, the better time He's going to have. He loves kids. That's why He has a family, and that's why He calls Himself Father. He doesn't call Himself Big Ogre or the Big Shot, I'm the boss of life. No, He's a Father, a loving Heavenly Father. And that's how He lives His life to the fullest. Having a family, you and I in it, responding, fellowshipping with Him. But what about us? Are we tapping into life? Are we getting the most out of life that God has made available through a knowledge of His Word? Now, most people think, you know, I'm one in 8 billion. There's 8 billion people. I think when I was born, I think there was only like 4 billion or so. There's 8 billion people out there. So you're thinking, okay, God's going to be interested in me. He's thinking about me. He has thoughts of me. No way. He's so busy with everybody else. So why? How can I tap into this? Why am I significant? Well, I want you to go to a section of in Psalms 139. And I want you to go there. If you got a Bible, go there. If you got your Bible on your phone or iPad or whatever. Because I want you to look at this with me. Because we're going to read a number of scriptures that is just fantastic. Unbelievable. Psalms 139. And we'll start in verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know, we have crazy thoughts sometimes afar off. Does God know what you're thinking? If the Word of God is correct, He does. When you get up and when you go down, He's there. He knows. Unbelievable, huh? But it is believable because it's God's Word. He's saying it. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. You can't sneak one by God. No sneaking. God knows every little thing. Now, that might kind of scare you a little bit. Uh-oh, God knows everything about me? Hey, don't worry about stuff, okay? Be excited about being a child of God, okay? Every child has their episodes, right? But as a child, all of you have... Weren't you a child at one time? Sure. Yep, still am, huh? Okay. And as a kid, we do some doggone stupid things, don't we? Did your parents use that against you for the rest of your life? Hopefully not. You know, a loving Heavenly Father, He forgives. Move on. Let's live life to the fullest. Okay, we're not done here yet. Psalms 139, verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Hey, He's got you covered. He knows every little thing you're going to say or not say. You just might be thinking it. We'll see that in a moment. Thou hast beset behind me, beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or in the grave, behold, thou art there. You can't get away from God. You can't hide from Him. Up or down, He's there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So there it is. God is very interested in you, personally and individually. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, even in the darkest moments, darkest conditions, God is there. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. So does God know you before you were born? Is that baby in that womb very important? Is that life living? God knows that, right? I wish our government officials would recognize this truth. All right, side note, verse 14, I will praise thee. Why would I praise thee? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You know, we can know what's right. We can know what's good. Pretty neat. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And then verse 17, we have this on the screen for you, 139:17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God thinks good things about us. So if we're thinking bad things about us, that's no. If God's looking good to us, then we need to look at ourselves and say, hey, I'm not that bad. God likes me. I'm going to buy into that. Why not? Why not? And then this verse 18, if I should count them, now count what? These precious thoughts that God has toward us. If I count them, they are more in number than the sand. Man, oh man, do you picture the beach? Right? Coronado Beach. That's the prettiest beach I think I've ever seen. The white sand, it just goes on and on. How many little sands do you think are there? Unbelievable amount. Just phenomenal numbered. That's how much God thinks of you in a good way. And when I awake, I am still with thee. Now, this is interesting. This kind of looks awkward to me when I read this, as far as I should count them, and they're more in number than the sand. And then he's talking about waking up. But there was an interesting note in the ESV Bible that I think kind of hits it. And this scholar said this, the number of God's thoughts are so large that one would fall asleep counting them. And even so, God will not abandon his faithful. Isn't that amazing? And I think regardless, all this sand, all these thoughts, and even if we fall asleep, he's still with us there when we awake. Is that not a fantastic section of God's word? Now, why not believe this and ride with this in our life than all the junk we hear in the news today? All the negativism, all the things that put us down, that think like we're not worth anything. God thinks about us all the time. We're his kids. It's amazing, isn't it? Let's go to Isaiah 26:3. And that's, we've got that on the screen as well. You know, God is just covering all the details. It's just amazing how much he works with us and in the details of our life. Sandy shared about Thursday being up in Escondido, and we did kind of a agape now where we prayed for people, we handed out water. And so I was sitting down at the table, and the bus comes by, and this young man gets off, and he has with him, it looks like his little brother. He's probably 5 or 6 years old, the little guy. So he comes right up to the table and says, what's going on here? I said, well, we're praying for people. We're making available our life and the things of God. And then I ask him, has anybody ever taught you about being saved or born again? He said, no. He was very up front with that. Nope. And I just kind of stepped back. Okay, we've got a fresh one here. And so I was able to share the gospel that he knows about Christ and that he paid the price and that God raised him from the dead. And then we've got a little booklet, Your New Life in Christ. And we had a great chat. He was a freshman at San Marcos State University, plays basketball there. And he says, I'm a freshman. I'm a red shirt freshman. You know what a red shirt freshman is in athletics? He's sitting out a year. Though he's on the team, he's got another year of eligibility, but he's focusing on his schoolwork. So I thought about this, and I just remembered that I know who the coach is on his team, his coach. And you've heard of me talk about the garage group fellowship on Wednesdays. Well, one of the men, his name is Ben Foster. He was a longtime coach at the university up here at Point Loma Nazarene. The coach at St. Marcos is his son. Isn't that neat? Of all things, the connections, how God puts things together. That's our God. Why not? So that was such an exciting time. So I had to call Ben up and talk to him. And he said, I'm going to talk to my son, BJ. And so he follows up on Fernando. So, it blew his mind that I would know, have the connection with the coach and his dad, the dad of the coach there. Well, let's look at Isaiah 26:3. Isn't that a great section of scripture? Thou wilt keep perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. All right? Trust ye in the Lord. Verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. How much strength? Everlasting, doesn't run out. You see, our connection with God is just so fantastic. It's just so phenomenal. Let's go to verse 8. I'm going to jump down to verse 8. We've got that on the screen as well. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. See, this is how we respond back. With my soul, verse 9, have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Man, oh man. Fantastic, isn't it? As much as God seeks us, we too can reach out to him. Seek him. He has made us perfect in Christ. So we have a great connection, a phenomenal connection. Let's go to Hebrews. We have Hebrews 10, 24, or I'm sorry, 14. Hebrews 10, 14, we have that on the screen. This verse is just a mind blower. And I don't want you to read this and then get too excited here, okay? Just settle down a little bit. I know you guys get excited when you see the word fit and apply it to your life and see the truth in your heart. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you sanctified in Christ? Yes. Are you perfect? Oh, no, I'm not perfect. I'm just a bum. I'm a lazy, I just miss it all. No! Jesus Christ made you perfect. Perfect by his offering. He has perfected how long? Forever. Them that are sanctified. And I want to read a few more verses here in that chapter. We don't have it on the screen, but go to verse 19 in chapter 10 if you would. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession or confession is the Greek, of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. That's our act. That's, you see, the more you see how much God loves you and provided for you, thinks well of you, then we should have the confidence to trust him in his word, to have the promises of God manifested in our lives. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Now, is that an oxymoron or what? To provoke unto love. Provoke is like a negative word, right? But it's a real wonderful expression, I think, that we work with each other to love one another, right? To provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So that's why I love fellowships, getting together with the saints. There's nothing better about it. See, we just don't want to forsake the assembly of ourselves, being together in fellowship with God, with one another. It's fantastic. So what's our response going to be to what we read today? Well, we could just go on home and hang out and watch some football games and do what we always do. Or we could go home with a little better thinking in our minds that God really thinks well of me, that I am pretty special for him, and that he loves me really wonderfully, and that I can love him back. I can trust him. And that's what I hope happens, that you go back and with a little bit of a changed mind. We want to acknowledge this new living way that Jesus Christ made for us. And why not clean up our thoughts about ourselves? Because Jesus Christ did the work so that God could think well of us. So we fully identify with him, right? These are the thoughts that we want to remember. We are righteous before him. We are sanctified before him. We're made holy before him. We're a child of God before him. We have the Holy Spirit before him. We've got it all. We have eternal life and the hope of Christ's return. Amazing, amazing. So with this, let's sharpen each other. Let's continue to provoke each other to love. All right, and to live a full and rich life, recognizing how wonderful God is. And we'll do that until that wonderful day approaches, huh? And Christ comes back to get us. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for how well you do think of us, and that we can recognize this in the depths of our heart, Father, and then move out in our life with great expectations as we fellowship with you, that we can think well of ourselves because you think so wonderfully of us. So we thank you, Father, for the lifestyle that we can live fellowshipping with you. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right.